Chapter 10. Which supplements should you take? News stories and advertisements trumpet the benefits of various nutritional supplements. Drugstores and health food shops are stocked with shelf after shelf of them. Which ones help, and which ones are unnecessary? Here is some basic information that will help you decide. You should, however, talk to your doctor, pharmacist, or dietitian about which products you may take. You may have a particular need for one or another supplement, depending on your health, or you may need to avoid certain products because they interfere with medications you are taking. If you are adding supplements that might affect your blood sugar, be sure to check your blood glucose regularly. Refer to Chapter 7 for how to recognize and treat low blood sugar. Let's look at specific vitamins and other nutritional compounds, starting with the basics. Multivitamin. Taking a multivitamin is a good idea for a few reasons. First, it provides vitamin B12, which you need for healthy blood and nerves. Yes, you can find vitamin B12 in some fortified products, such as breakfast cereals and soy milk, but most sources are animal-derived and supply unwanted cholesterol and fat. Many people, particularly older people, tend to run low on vitamin B12, regardless of their diets, perhaps because their bodies become less efficient at absorbing it. A daily multivitamin keeps you covered in a healthful way. Second, a multivitamin provides vitamin D. Your body normally produces this vitamin when sunlight hits your skin, but if you are indoors most of the day, you may be missing the natural source, and a multivitamin can make up for that. Vitamin D helps your body absorb calcium and has important anti-cancer properties. Third, multivitamins contain folic acid. While this B vitamin is known for helping prevent birth defects, it also appears to have an anti-cancer effect. In June 2002, a report in the Journal of the American Medical Association recommended taking a multivitamin not just once a day but twice to ensure adequate amounts of vitamins B12 and D. For women attempting to conceive, a multivitamin plus a 400 microgram folic acid supplement is recommended. For adults, it is a good idea to choose a multivitamin without iron, because most people already have plenty of stored iron and do not need more. If you have a history of anemia, your doctor should advise you about whether you need iron supplements. Also, choose a vegetarian formula. All health food stores carry them. It will supply vitamin A as beta-carotene rather than as preformed vitamin A, which can be toxic if you overdo it. Sometimes meat-eaters imagine that they are getting complete nutrition without a multivitamin. The fact is, they often run low on vitamin C, folic acid, beta-carotene, and other nutrients. They also generally run low on fiber, but multivitamins cannot make up for a fiber deficit, nor can they counter the effects of the cholesterol, fat, or other undesirables found in the animal products they are eating. Vitamin B12. This vitamin is essential for healthy blood cells and nerve function. If you do not take a daily multivitamin, you should take a vitamin B12 supplement that provides at least 5 micrograms. Nearly all brands contain more than this, but higher doses are not toxic. Vitamin D. As noted earlier, vitamin D is produced as a result of your skin being exposed to sunlight. It helps you absorb calcium, among other functions. It is a good idea to spend 15 to 20 minutes daily outdoors. If you get this sun exposure, there is no need for dietary supplementation. If you do not, and also do not take a regular multivitamin, a 400 international unit vitamin D supplement is a good idea. Aside from the basic vitamins, some other supplements have shown promise for people with diabetes. Cinnamon. Cinnamon has been shown to cut fasting glucose levels by 18 to 29%. As little as a half teaspoon of ordinary cinnamon added to your morning oatmeal or other foods not only seems to reduce blood sugar, but also appears to reduce blood cholesterol levels. Some of cinnamon's helpful effects may be explained by compounds called polyphenol polymers, which are found in the spice and have an insulin-like action. Magnesium. In Harvard's Nurses' Health Study, women who had more magnesium in their diets had a significantly lower likelihood of developing diabetes. Apparently, magnesium increases insulin sensitivity and may increase the secretion of insulin from the pancreas, which suggests that it may also be helpful after diabetes has been diagnosed. This does not mean, however, that you need a magnesium supplement. Foods rich in magnesium include whole grains, grains with their natural fiber intact, such as brown rice, barley, and oats, as well as green vegetables, such as spinach and Swiss chard. Many bean varieties are also rich in magnesium. In the Harvard study, a high intake was about 400 milligrams per day. Here is a list of common foods and their magnesium content. Magnesium content of common foods. Barley, 1 cup, 158 milligrams. Black turtle beans, 1 cup boiled, 91 milligrams. Broccoli, 1 cup boiled, 38 milligrams. Brown rice, 1 cup cooked, 86 milligrams. Brussels sprouts, 8, 32 milligrams. Butternut squash, 1 cup boiled, 60 milligrams. Chickpeas, canned, 1 cup, 78 milligrams. Collards, 1 cup boiled, 52 milligrams. Dates, dried, 10 medium, 29 milligrams. Figs, dried, 10 medium, 111 milligrams. Great northern beans, 1 cup boiled, 88 milligrams. Green beans, 1 cup boiled, 32 milligrams. Kale, 1 cup boiled, 24 milligrams. Lentils, 1 cup boiled, 71 milligrams. Lima beans, 1 cup boiled, 82 milligrams. Mustard greens, 1 cup boiled, 20 milligrams. Navy beans, 1 cup boiled, 107 milligrams. Oatmeal, instant, 2 packets cooked, 70 milligrams. Peas, 1 cup boiled, 62 milligrams. Pinto beans, 1 cup boiled, 95 milligrams. Raisins, 2/3 of a cup, 35 milligrams. Soybeans, 1 cup boiled, 148 milligrams. Spinach, 1 cup boiled, 158 milligrams. Sweet potato, 1 cup boiled, 32 milligrams. Swiss chard, 1 cup boiled, 152 milligrams. Tofu, 1/2 cup, 118 milligrams. Vegetarian baked beans, 1 cup, 82 milligrams. And white beans, 1 cup boiled, 113 milligrams. Chromium. Chromium is an element that helps insulin work better, meaning that it helps the hormone escort glucose from your bloodstream into your cells. It is naturally present in many foods, such as broccoli, green beans, whole grains, nuts, and even coffee. Some experts recommend taking supplements as well. Whether that is a good idea for you depends on how much of these chromium-rich foods you eat regularly. Technically speaking, chromium is what is called an insulin cofactor, an insulin helper, if you will. In the same way that you cannot use a jack to lift your car if its handle is missing, insulin has trouble bringing glucose into cells without chromium to help it work properly. Chromium's essential role was discovered only relatively recently. In the late 1960s, researchers found that chromium deficiency could lead to high blood sugar levels. In 1977, Canadian researchers described the case of a woman in her mid-30s who was receiving all her nutrition intravenously following intestinal surgery. As time went by, she began to lose weight. Her blood sugar started to rise inexplicably, and eventually she developed nerve symptoms in her legs that appeared to be diabetic neuropathy. Her doctors had to administer large insulin doses to bring her blood sugar under control. Eventually, they gave her chromium, which had been absent from her feeding formula. In just a few weeks, her blood glucose fell to the point where she no longer required insulin, and her nerve symptoms disappeared. Although correcting chromium deficiencies is essential for blood glucose control, it is not yet clear whether adding extra chromium helps or if it is safe to do so. Studies in which researchers gave chromium to people with type 1, type 2, or gestational diabetes have yielded mixed results. The problem may be that some studies were small and used rather small chromium doses, but some studies using higher doses up to 1,000 micrograms in individuals with type 2 diabetes, have shown no benefit. As a result, most diabetes authorities do not recommend chromium supplements. According to the Food and Nutrition Board of the Institute of Medicine, the safe and adequate daily intakes of chromium for adults ages 19 to 50 are 35 micrograms for men and 25 micrograms for women. For people over 50, the amounts are 30 micrograms for men and 20 micrograms for women. Here is the amount of chromium in common foods as listed by the U.S. government. Broccoli, half cup cooked, 11 micrograms. Grape juice, 1 cup, 8 micrograms. English muffin, whole wheat, 1, 4 micrograms. Potatoes, mashed, 1 cup cooked, 3 micrograms. Garlic, dried, 1 teaspoon, 3 micrograms. Basil, dried, 1 tablespoon, 2 micrograms. Orange juice, 1 cup, 2 micrograms. Whole wheat bread, 2 slices, 2 micrograms. Red wine, 5 ounces, 1 to 13 micrograms. Apple with skin, 1 medium, 1 microgram. Banana, 1 medium, 1 microgram. Green beans, half cup cooked, 1 microgram. While you are making sure to include chromium-rich foods in your menu, it may also help to steer clear of sugar and refined grain products such as white flour. These foods are not only low in chromium, they also increase chromium loss from the body. Loss of the mineral is also increased by the stresses of infection, strenuous exercise, and pregnancy. If you are going to supplement, you should be aware that chromium is included in most common multivitamins, usually in amounts ranging from 100 to 200 micrograms. So, additional supplementation may not be necessary. The safety of high chromium doses has not been as extensively studied as that of other minerals. Studies using chromium for diabetes treatment often exceed the amounts recommended by the U.S. government using doses of up to 1,000 micrograms per day. Individuals with impaired liver or kidney function may be at risk for adverse effects and should probably stay well below this level. The long-term benefits and risks of chromium supplementation are not known. Most typical multivitamins easily provide you with adequate chromium. If you choose to take higher amounts, it is a good idea to check with your physician first. Alpha-lipoic acid. Alpha-lipoic acid, sometimes called thioctic acid, is naturally produced in the human body. It plays important roles in the mitochondria, the microscopic burners that provide energy in the cells. It works as a cofactor for several enzymes related to energy metabolism. Supplemental alpha-lipoic acid is used not to counteract deficiencies, but to act essentially like a drug. In high doses, it acts as an antioxidant. In people with type 2 diabetes, it appears to increase insulin sensitivity and reduce symptoms of nerve damage. In many studies of alpha-lipoic acid, researchers used intravenous infusions rather than oral doses. So far, it appears to be safe, but it is not yet clear whether it will yield clinically important effects over the long run, and if so, what doses are safe and effective for long-term use. For further reference, if you search for information about supplements on the web, you may find yourself carried away by a flood of commercial sites. I recommend this National Institutes of Health site, www.cc.nih.gov/CCC/supplements.